Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PCAST, coming to you live from Impact Ministries Worldwide. Get ready for the reliable, the relevant, the real Word of God. And now, the PCAST.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the PCAST. We are excited for all of you who joined with us today, and we look forward to all that God has for us. We are just, I tell you, forging through some really wonderful opportunities, and we have been so blessed to have just the wealth of information that God has allowed us to take advantage of at this time in our lives. Last week, we actually did a replay of Morality Matters, and that was just such an awesome, awesome word. And we're poising ourselves to move forward and learn more about morality and what God intends for us to do to live our lives holy and to give Him the best reputation possible, but also to know exactly what we need to do in resisting the enemy, because we talked a lot about that last week, is the fact that we have a part to play. And that part is, you know, sometimes kind of under-discussed, if I can say it that way. People just tell us, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, but they don't tell you how. And so we're going to talk about that, because we want you to know exactly what to do to resist the devil, how you do that, what is the strategy, how do we make that resistance something that's a regular part of our life, and it just comes out of us when we are presented with opportunities to do something different. Well, before we get started, we're really going to just pause right now for station identification. When we come back, we'll be listening to more on the PCAST.
Currently, the weekly scheduled events and activities for Impact Ministries Worldwide and Impact Worship Centers are as follows. Please note that all listed times are Central Standard Time. Come be a part of Sunday Resource, our premier Sunday service for Impact Worship Center every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Worship starts at 7 and the Word at 7:30. Join us each Monday at 12 noon for the Clergy Connection Experience, the official prayer and inspiration time for the consummate clergy community. The Clergy Connection extends to you an invitation to First Monday Clergy Prayer, each first Monday night at 7 p.m. Tuesday is Consecration and Wellness Day at Impact Ministries Worldwide. We pray and meditate each Tuesday until sundown. For more information on our consecration procedures and fasting protocols, please visit our prayer247365.org prayer portal. Catch Living Life Well with Pastor P for our 30-minute weekly broadcast dedicated to helping us learn to live unquestionably free of disease, displeasure, disorder, doubt, deficiency, and dread. Midweek Reload. Join us for our innovative and provocative approach to revealing the relevancy and reliability of the Word of God on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Watch out, it's habit forming. Tune in to the PCAST each Wednesday at 12 noon as we learn how to become more confident and more competent in our kingdom living. Calling all entrepreneurs, inventors, company owners, manufacturers, senior management, business leaders, developers, creators, composers, arrangers, authors, and the like for VIBE, our valued interaction and business exchange. Come and learn with us each Thursday at 12 noon and watch God turn your business concerns inside out. Friday is Family Day at Impact Ministries. Join us Fridays at noon for 30 minutes of inspiration, education, and motivation on PROS, the PROS radio show, followed immediately by our Fit Family Prayer. Remember, you can also call into our regularly scheduled worship services, Bible services, and prayer services on our toll-free number, 888-405-9785. Again, that's 888-405-9785, and press pound to be connected to a live service in progress. That will be all of our weekly announcements here on Impact Radio.
Yeah. Well, we're back. We're back. And I tell you, we are just magnifying God in every way that we know how, because we recognize that He is to be magnified and that it is Him that we are representing when we come together in a manner like this. And we know that there is nothing greater in our life than the influence of God. When we allow Him to use us, uses us as His most valuable asset, if I could say it that way, to get the word to others. And I mean, it's been a very enlightening experience for me to really look at areas when it comes to, you know, personal growth and personal enhancement as a kingdom citizen, understanding that I am the influence of God in the earth realm, and that people do pay attention to how I live, that they're watching me, my children are watching me, my husband is watching me, my siblings are watching me, those who work with me in business, they're watching me. People are looking at me, you know, and they're seeing how I operate, the things that I do on a daily basis. And I'm sharing this because I want you to understand that we sometimes, you know, call it being under a microscope, but, you know, the bottom line is God uses us. When people see us go through things and they see us come out of those things, you know, in a way that gives God glory and honor, that blesses God, but it also blesses them because it gives them something that they can actually hold on to. You know, we've been talking about morality matters, and that's been very, very powerful. Lesson to, even for me, even while I've been studying, you know, to prepare to teach, it's a very powerful word, you know, to understand that my lifestyle is part of my evangelism, and my lifestyle is something that either can drive people to God or away from Him, depending on how, you know, I actually you know, put forth excellence, you know, put forth truth and integrity, and allow God to really shine forth in my life. And so it's very, very important for you to understand that your life is something that God uses every day. You are a valuable asset to God. You're a valuable tool in the master's hands. And in the same way, you're a valuable weapon in the master's hands, because you can be a weapon to tear down things that the enemy is trying to do, or you can be a tool to build up what God is doing. And so I'm sharing this information. We went through a lot of information last week in dealing with the whole concept of morality and the fact that most of us don't have a morality issue. We have a loyalty issue. Our issue is really not with, you know, being moral. We believe right is right and wrong is wrong. But sometimes, you know, when presented with an opportunity to do something different, we will have a loyalty issue to the initial commitment that we've made to God. And we have to fight our flesh and, you know, command it and tell it that it's not the boss of us, and that we are going to do the things that we need to do in God to make sure that people get the right understanding of who God is and whose we are and how God people operate. And that's very important. Now, last week I promised you that we were going to begin to really talk about how to resist the devil. Because when we talked last week, we shared a lot about morality and our commitment to morality, and we looked at all of those things that have to do with, you know, us being, you know, the best us that we can be, giving God the best reputation that we can give Him, and allowing Him to shine forth, you know, through us in every type of area that our arena that we may be in. But we didn't necessarily break down the concept of what you do, you know, when you are met with challenges. And it's really important, you know, for you to understand that, you know, when you're met with challenges, there's something that you have to do. And that's an extremely important thing, because, you know, you don't just get a temptation showing up on your door, and, you know, it doesn't always arrive with an invitation or, for that matter, with an announcement. What usually happens is you're right in the middle of something and you'll be distracted from whatever it is that you're already in the middle of doing, and an opportunity to you know, in become entangled in something that's not necessarily what God wants us to be doing will happen. And we won't necessarily recognize it as what it is at the time. But we have to understand that we must condition ourselves. And I have to say this the best way that I know how. We have to become conditioned to have the right response when we're met with temptation. We're going to pray about this today, too, because I think it's very important for us to understand that, you know, we live a life, you know, where sin happens every day, you know. And I'm not telling you this stuff because of the fact that I have arrived or I've come to a place where I live sin-free or sinless or, you know, yes, we've been made free from the bondage of sin. And let me make that very clear, you know, we have been made free from the bondage of sin. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And the finished work of the cross made it such that we do not have to know the consequences of the sin that we were born in. But instead, we have been able to be reconnected to the Father and reconnected with our purpose. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we do not have to live our lives on this earth realm and go and die and go to hell. You don't have to do that. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So we understand what sin is. You know, it's an offense against, a moral or a law that God has made, an action that is felt to be highly reprehensible, you know, and it's sometimes a shortcoming or a transgression of God's law. You know, so we understand what sin is. But the thing that I want you to be really clear about is that sometimes sin presents itself in ways that we don't necessarily see it as sin right off. You know, it will be presented to us in a way that is just, you know, sometimes it's enticing. And then we're not just talking about sexual sin here. We're talking about, you know, just any type of thing that would transgress the law of God. And there are many times when those things that transgress the law of God are presented to us in such a way that we don't even realize, or for that matter, it doesn't appear in the same light that it does when God will uncover it as it being something that is reprehensible. You know, I think about all the times when, you know, I have gotten caught up in things, you know, in my life, you know, and I tell people a lot that my life was a made-for-TV movie, you know, and sometimes I don't even want to turn to that channel and look at some of the things that I've done or experienced, because everything in my life has not always been godly or good or, you know, for that matter, even though God has used it for my good and I'm able to use it to share with others and to bless them and to help them understand how they can live their lives and come, you know, to a place where God can use them powerfully. But the bottom line is there are some botched things that I went through and I experienced. There's some things that I did that I don't even want to talk about sometimes because they were just so bad. Things that I allowed myself to get into, you know, knowing me. And then there's some things that I got caught up in that I just didn't realize that it was going in that direction. And by the time I got there, it was like, oh, my God, how did this happen? Or how did I even get here? You know, and I'm sure that for some of you, you can share some of that stuff. You know the things that you purposefully did. You know, there are some stuff I just absolutely know better. And I did that, didn't do what I knew to do. But then there's some things that I really, you know, when I look at it, it's like, man, you know, it just kind of slipped into this place. And I found myself there one day going, oh, how did I get here? You know, things as simple as, you know, we talk a lot about living life well. On Tuesdays, we have a broadcast in which we share, you know, tools and tips that people can use to live their lives well as God intended us to. But I think about the times when I was caught up in, you know, I was addicted to sugar, and I talk about this a lot. And it's not a drug addiction per se, but it's an addiction that really almost killed me because I didn't know at the time that I was allergic to sugar. And I was killing myself by eating as much sugar as I was eating. And over a period of time, I created a very, you know, very bad situation for my body that I had to have medical attention to solve. Because of the fact that I just you know, I slipped up and kept eating more and more and more. And before I knew it, I was eating, you know, sugar to stay awake, and I was eating sugar to be able to complete projects. I was eating sugar to, you know, keep me going, and sugar was my drug of choice. And I share that because something as simple as that doesn't seem like it's a big deal to someone who may be addicted to crack cocaine. But they both, in their right, can kill us, you know, if we, you know, continue in utilizing those substances when we, you know to do different. And so I'm sharing this just a little simple thing. But the bottom line is, how do you get to a place where you can resist the devil? You know, the scripture tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And, you know, many, many people have difficulties in that area because they don't know, well, what do you do, you know, to resist the devil? You know, well, I want to go to that scripture because I want to read, you know, what, you know, read the whole thing in context so that you can understand what was being stated there. You know, and I think it's important. James, the fourth chapter, and, you know, I want us to go to that location right now because we're going to read, you know, what happens before that particular word comes to us. And it says, the first verse says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." And then it says, "That ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the fellowship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. For if thou shalt judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Okay, so I want to go back here because I want you to understand that the purpose of the scripture is really to teach us exactly how to deal with our flesh. I mean, this is really what it is. And when we were talking last week, when we were talking about morality and the fact that most of us have a loyalty issue and that our issue is really not with, you know, making a choice to do right over wrong, it's with being loyal to the choice we made when we actually came to know the Lord. And in making that choice, understanding everything that's a part of that choice. And in this scripture, there's far more than just to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because before that very, those very words, resist the devil, there was something that I know a lot of people miss, but is paramount if you want a strategy for helping you understand how to deal with, you know, temptation. The first thing that it says here is to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, this particular area, the area of submission to God, is a huge one because many, many times we are presented with opportunities to really get before the Lord and to, you know, pray and to read the Word of God, and we will miss those opportunities for, you know, a lack of, again, commitment and loyalty, you know, because we have so many things to do. I mean, we're so busy and we're so inundated with all of the things that are required of us on a daily basis. Most of us are parents, we're wives or husbands, or we have someone in our life that we are, you know, involved with heavily. We, you know, sometimes even have, you know, people that we steward, whether they're employees or, you know, people that are under us, you know, in capacity of ministry, you know, and so we have so many things that we're doing just in the church. To get outside of the church, you know, in our family and get outside of that. I mean, to even manage our own personality sometimes is a very difficult task because there's so many things that our personality are, you know, comprised of. I mean, we have the us that we know, the us that we see, then we have the us that everybody else sees, you know, and the one that we're trying to keep concealed because we're really trying to learn to do better in a lot of areas. And so we have all this stuff that we're dealing with, and a simple thing like submit yourself to, therefore, to God seems like it's something that's simple, but it becomes very convoluted when we are trying our best to, you know, look a certain way in front of people. And I want us to really understand the importance of us getting back to a very genuine place of really being transparent and translucent enough to allow God to do work on us that will give us a freedom to just let people see for us for who we are. I mean, there are some things that we have had to come to understand, you know, about life, you know, as people in the kingdom, people, this remnant of people that God has placed together. We have this little group where God is forging together, and we call them a team, and we are very excited to have all of them. And as we've been talking about how we can better, you know, help people become who God created them to be, some of the things that have come out of those meetings have been things like the fact that people hide. They hide who they are. They hide what they desire. They hide the things that they're dealing with because of the fact that they feel like it's so important for them to, you know, have this person that they show others. And they don't realize how much God wants them to be free from, you know, that the desire, or even free from this overwhelming feeling like they can't just be, you know. Instead, they have to be, you know, somebody. They have to have this special name or this special, you know, title, or they have to be in this certain status or have these certain friends. And God just wants us to just be so he can really use us, so he can really, you know, become that, make that scripture true in our lives, Acts 17 and 28, where, you know, in him we live and in him we move and in him we have our being. I mean, if we could just get to the place where we allow God the freedom to be him in us so that we can be better at everything we do, that in and of itself would be an enormous thing. And this scripture where it talks about submitting ourselves to God, that is a huge part of it. If you would just take the time to every morning go before the Lord and lay yourself out and say, okay, Father, I present myself to you today, and I thank you for even allowing me to see another day. And give me the opportunity, Lord, to just become all that you want me to be. And I'm slaying without before you, Lord, because I know there are things in me that just don't look like you. One of the things that happened to me some years ago, God told me at a time when I really thought that I was living all I knew how, you know, in him. And I was really something. I was pastor patience, you know, and I was, you know, valuing that title and valuing, you know, what it was that I was doing in the earth realm as something really huge. And I mean, and I was very prideful about it. Didn't really realize I was prideful about it, but I was, you know. And God, you know, came to me in such a soft voice, I mean, just a very tender way. And he said, everything in your life has to look like me. And that was such a disheartening thing for me because, you know, I mean, I was thinking I was doing something, and God came to me and said, there are still things in your life that doesn't look like me. And then he showed me those things, and I became so, so hurt to know that I was transgressing the law of God by just some simple stuff that should not have even been a part of my personality or my, for that matter, a part of my daily routine. I mean, people would ask me things, and I would share information, and I found myself embellishing the truth. I mean, that's a simple thing to some people, but it's a big thing to God, because lying is really, it is what it is. It's lying, and it's sin. And when you embellish, you're lying. You know, and a lot of us don't realize there's a big difference between you speaking things into existence and believing God for something to be a certain way, and you speaking it as if it is, you know, and acting as if it's already become that way, you know, based on the a lot. And that's some of what it was that I was experiencing in my life at that time. And I had to really give it for the Lord and ask God to help me understand the difference and help me to really convey information in such a way that I would not be telling a lie. If I said I'm believing him for something, it's okay for me to believe him for something, but for me to make it appear that something else is going on is completely wrong. And again, such a simple thing. But it's some things like that that God wants us to really release ourselves from so that he can have the freedom to allow us to live and move and breathe in him, you know, and have our full existence in him. You know, and there are many, many other things, you know, and I know that we don't have time today to go through all the things, but something very simple, just submit yourself to God, your whole self, your mind, your thoughts, your desires, your ambition, submit it all to God. And when you submit it, therefore, to God, then the next piece, you can resist the devil. Because, see, when you submitted something to God with full confidence that God is going to take care of it, when the enemy comes to you with something else, you can remind him, just like Jesus did. When the enemy came to Jesus and told him that he could command the stone to be turned to bread because he knew Jesus was hungry, Jesus could go into that level of confidence because he was fully submitted to God. So he could say, Satan, get thee behind me. He could tell him, it is written. Okay? He could say that because of the fact that he was fully, fully loyal and committed to God. And because he was fully committed and fully loyal, then he was submitted. He had submersed himself so the God part of him could come forward when his flesh was screaming for food. And that's where we need to be. When the enemy comes to us with something, we will be able to, when we're fully submitted, just release that God part of us to say, you know what, even though I want to say something different, I will only say what my Father says. I will only say what my Father allows me to say because I'm fully submitted to his will above mine. And then the next thing, the scripture tells us to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. Now, a lot of times, you know, we look at this and we'll say, well, if I'm submitted to God, I am near to God. Not necessarily. There are many things in our lives that we reserve. We'll allow this part to be near to God and not that part because we want to still have some level of control of some areas of our life. And I know this has been the case for me, and it may be the case for many of you as well, because there are things in my life that I feel like, you know, I have a good handle on. And because I have a good handle on those things, you know, I have reserved the right, since God gave me the right, he made me a free moral agent, to take control and handle those things, you know, accordingly. There was a situation in which we, my husband and I, just recently, you know, were placed in a situation of counsel with someone who came and asked for prayer about an area that they were dealing with in their life, and they were challenged with wanting to kill somebody. And, I mean, they were literal about it because there was something that this person had done that was very, very heinous, and they felt like that they, you know, didn't have the self-control, and they wanted us to pray for them to have self-control. And interestingly enough, it just came out of both my husband and I in the middle of that little counseling session that that's not something that we need to pray for. What we need to pray for is discipline on your part, that you would be loyal to your commitment to God. And in your loyalty to your commitment to God, maybe while God is working through with you and helping you to become, you know, all that he created you to be, you don't go in the presence of that person while God is working through these things with you and helping you to become all that he created you to do. And as you are moving in the direction and getting closer and closer to God, you will find that these issues will be falling off of you. And you will be surprised that everything that you thought you possibly would not do or could not do, God will put you in a situation and show you how much of him is in you when you become closer to him. So that scripture in James where it's talking to us about drawing nigh to God, there's a purpose because as you draw nigher to God, it turns around and says he will draw nigh to you. And when God comes nearer to you, he's in us. And as he's getting nearer and nearer to those areas in us that we have released in him, then guess what? What comes out of us is what's in us. So when you're presented with an opportunity to do something wrong or to sin, what will end up happening is you will step forward and make that opportunity an opportunity of success because you will do the thing that God said. Or do the thing that you hear your father say instead of the things that you yourself would prefer to do. Hallelujah. And then the last part of the scripture tells us to cleanse our heart. Cleanse our hands and purify our heart. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. See, here, this is talking about us lamenting and actually coming to God and pouring out that part of us that we want to often hold on to, the part of us that we really need to break. We need to become broken before God and really allow, our laughter to become turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness so that we can really just become all that God wants us to be. It is God's desire for us to be humble before him. And many times we think we've got it. We think we've arrived. We think we've come to a place in him that is, just the place to be, not realizing that when we humble ourselves, when we become lowly, when we, lament and actually tear our flesh before God, what happens is he lifts us up. When we are so low that we can't get any lower, he lifts us up. And in that promotional period, then we see the importance of who God is and not the importance of who we are. Now, I know we're out of time, and we're going to continue with this next week, but I want to open up the lines and give us time to pray because I know that there are some on the line who God has gifted in the area of intercession who have the ability to share and to actually go to the Father on the behalf of some of those who are actually struggling in this area. And to allow the gifting of God to be used so that they can intercede and then we can see God really do something powerful on the behalf of those who are on the line. So I have unmuted the mic, and if God has placed it in you to pray in this area for the people, please go forth at this time. Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you in your name, under your authority and in your strength. Father, we know that we've all fallen short. Father, we know that we are not everything we need to be in our own strength and power. But we also know, Lord, that when we confess Jesus as our Lord, and when we put every single thing at the foot of the cross, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We thank you, God, that we do not have to get off this phone. We don't have to spend another day, another moment in shame and guilt.
Yeah.
God says, come all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you strength. Father, God is able, we are able to take everything and put it at the foot of the cross. God who forgives, God who heals, God who will not judge, God who will forgive us freely. As we forgive those who trespass against us. So we ask you, Lord God, to give us the strength to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, to offer forgiveness, to have a heart of openness, a heart of healing. Father God, we ask you to soften our hearts towards you, Lord God, and towards others. We ask you, Lord God, to help us let go of whatever it is. Let go of anger. Let go of everything that is unlike you, Father.
Yes.
We ask you to help us to just let go of everything that does not represent your heart.
Yes.
Father, we believe and ask you, Lord God, for a heart of wisdom, for a heart like you, God. We're asking you, Lord God, for the wisdom of God and the mind of Christ to enter into us right now, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord God, that we would each and every one be able to hear the still, small voice, the voice of God that speaks to us. Father, we believe in your word, for in you we live. and in you, Lord God, that we have our being, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we submit to you, Lord God, and we know that we resist the devil and we submit to you. Help us to have preset strategies to make up our mind in the first place with the things that challenge us, that we can make a decision about, that we are going to resist, that we're going to lean on you, that we're going to lean into you, because not only are we to resist the devil, but it tells us in that same scripture to come near to God. So it's not only what to do, it tells us resist the devil, but we can't resist all by ourselves. But if we draw near to God, it's God who the devil flees from. So when we draw near to God and the devil flees from us. So, God, we're asking you, Lord God, to give us a heart for you, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, that we would even desire to draw close to you, that we would desire to have an unction for you, that our hearts would be hungry for you, Lord God, that we would want you more than we would want other things. We're asking you, God, our desire for money, our desire to satisfy our flesh. We know that you know we have need of these things, and that you who is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, we know that you love us and that you are able and willing to provide us with everything we need. And so, Father, we're asking you to order our steps. We're asking you as our provider, Lord God, that we would remember what you say in 1 John, that, beloved, I wish that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. Father God, we're simply asking you today that we would trust you more than we trust ourselves, that we would have more faith in you than we have in ourselves, that we would lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways we would trust in you. And because you are all wise and all knowing, if we lean on you and trust in you, and if we draw near to you, we ask you, Lord God, and we stand with you. We know that you who are able to deliver us, you're able to take us through, carry us over, or take us under. But we know that you're bigger than any circumstance or situation we have. And we know that our eternal life with you is forever. So, God, we just submit right now. We let go. We submit. We release everything onto the throne at the foot of the cross. We let it all go. And we submit to your power, your wisdom, and you're all-knowing. And we thank you, Lord God, but because we know that you who are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, we know that your plan is better than ours. It's wiser than ours. And so we release everything today unto you. These things we pray in the matchless name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for today. We give you honor and glory and praise, for this is truly a day that you've made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that went forth today from Pastor Patient. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that is able to save our souls, Lord God, this word that we have received with meekness today. I thank you, Father God, for our lives reflecting you and our lives looking like you as you intended for them to, our lives being the direct reflection of what and who you are. I thank you, Lord God, for that reflection being seen in every area and aspect of our lives. I thank you for making us more cognizant and more conscious of the life that we live, Lord God, being mindful of the things that we think about, the things that we say, the actions that we do, the character that we portray. I pray that you would cause us to rethink our commitment to you, that we will be totally sold out, Father, that we would strive to be sold out to you in every area and aspect of our lives. I pray that we would take our walk and our relationship with you more seriously now than we ever have before. I thank you for the Holy Spirit constantly bringing things to our remembrance and to our attention, things that we need to address, how we need to simply speak a soft and a kind word, which turns away wrath. How we need to be kind and more loving toward one another. How we need to walk in love, even when we don't want to. I thank you, Father, for us taking our rightful place in you. And I thank you for us being in constant remembrance of where that place with you is, where our position with you is, and that's to be seated together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. I thank you that we command our reality today to be kingdom reality. I thank you that we contain optimal resilience today. I thank you that we combat life's obstacles today. And that we everything that we do it from a kingdom-based perspective, Lord. I thank you for changing the way we think, the way we see things, our perspective on life and our life and the lives of others. Thank you for changing the way we talk, Father God, that we're more mindful of the things that we say. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for you looking at our hearts and not looking on the outward appearance of us, but you look on our hearts. I thank you, Lord God, that we seek first your kingdom and all your righteousness, not worrying about the things, not being concerned about the things, because it's a given and an added benefit that you said in your word would all be added to us. I thank you that our focus would be more on living a righteous, peaceful, and joyful life in the Holy Ghost today, God. Thank you for us being concerned about today. And I thank you that every care that we have, that we're able to cast it on you because we know that you care for us. I thank you that we will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, Lord God, and we shall not be moved at all. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. Even 1,000 falling at our right side and at our left and 10,000 at our right, but nothing shall come nigh. I thank you. We thank you today for the light affliction that we have to deal with, Lord. The light affliction. Father, with these things and so much more, we give your name praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
amen
name, yes, Lord.
And amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, we're out of time, but we will be right back here next week on the PCAST. And until then, you can join one of our other regularly scheduled broadcasts on Impact Radio. Just dial 888-405-9785 and press pound. To get our regularly scheduled events, you may go to our website at www.impactmw.org. Again, that's www.impactmw.org. See you next week on the PCAST.